my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, friends. You are listening to the My 1-2-3 cents podcast. This is episode 329. I thank all of you for being a part of the experience, and I want to introduce at this time, we're doing the interview, and of course, my guest is Stride Pro Wrestling General Manager, Sam Hunter. And Sam, you've been on the show a few times now, but it's always great to have you on, and we have a big anniversary coming up with Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm excited. Are you?
I'm very much excited. First of all, Kevin Huntsberger, the hardest working man in the business. It's always great.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you taking some time. I know you've been busy with life in general, but also, you know, being the general manager of Stride Pro Wrestling. I can't believe it, Sam. It has been 5 years. We just passed the five-year anniversary of the very first Stride Pro Wrestling show out at the mall in Marion, Illinois, at the Illinois Star Center Mall. You were general manager back then to kind of give fans some perspective and talk about those early days and your fandom, because you and I met years earlier in All-American Pro Wrestling, and if folks listened to our Mississippi Madman tribute episode, they learned a little bit about you from that. But talk a little bit about your fandom of local independent wrestling and how it led to you becoming the general manager of Stride.
Well, Kevin, that whole story goes back quite a bit. That honestly goes back to We're going to go back all the way to the year 2003 real quick.
Okay.
I was a junior in high school at the time, and you know that Tyler, Heath Hatton, and I went to high school together, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, Tyler had not been watching wrestling for a long time, and one day I was talking to him. I think it was the day after WrestleMania. What was that, WrestleMania 19 that year? I think it was 19.
Yeah, that would be about right. 2003, yeah.
Yeah, and basically what I told him was I was like, dude, whatever you're doing, watch Monday Night Raw night, because Goldberg's going to be on there.
Hmm.
And Heath was a big WCW fan and a big Goldberg fan at the time, and he'd been out of watching wrestling for a little bit, but I told him, I was like, dude, Goldberg's coming back tonight, you'll want to see it, da-da-da-da-da. And he started watching again, and 2 years down the road, he got into actual wrestling, and I'm trying to think of say this the best way possible, but he got into actually training and everything else. And, you know, in the beginning, everybody thought he was kind of crazy for doing it, but I was like, man, that's great, so on and so forth. And it was a little while later, but he started wrestling for AAPW. In fact, he had his first match in wrestling there. I think it was with Carnage, and I actually photoshopped him on the poster because nobody actually thought he was going to be in the show and everything.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And the rest is history.
That is awesome. So, and obviously, you know, you mentioned that friendship from high school, and it has carried over. And, you know, I think it was only fitting that he call you and ask you to become the GM of Stride Pro Wrestling. And that is, again, I can't believe it's been 5 years already, but here we are. And I can still remember that very first show and the excitement in the air. What are some of your early memories of Stride, some of your favorite things that kind of happened in those times?
Well, you know, initially one of the big things that stands out is said, I've mentioned doing some of the AAPW stuff, and I had done some, you know, working with you guys, you know, in Ring Crew and doing some of the production stuff. I remember taking tickets and everything. And after AAPW turned into Pro Wrestling Collision, I stuck around for a little while. And then I went off and I got a job to where I couldn't, you know, help out at the time. I went and I had worked for another promotion as well after that. And one thing I've learned about this is you don't say nothing bad about anybody, even if you want to. Yeah. Because the thing about it is let's be bigger than that and don't bury anybody. And so I worked for a promotion that I'm not particularly a fan of to say to this day, but, you know, I wish those people the best in their endeavors now. But I'd actually sworn off doing anything with independent wrestling after I left working for that promotion, but Tyler called me out of the blue one day and he was like, hey, I'm getting ready to start this wrestling promotion and I want you to come work for me. And it's one of those, you know, when it's one of your friends and it's like one of the people that, you know, you have a real strong relationship with, it's like, hey, I'm going to be doing this. It's like, okay, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And like I said, the rest is history, man.
That's awesome. And so, you know, opening night, if you will, back in March of 2016, we see Axe Allward become the very first Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. He beat Heath and Tony Flood and Frank Wyatt in a fatal four-way. And you went on, at, you know, as general manager, you know, you're kind of that authority figure. And you went on to kind of have words several times with both Axe, even to this day, as well as Tony Flood. When you're in there with these guys, is there ever that fear factor that pops in that one of them could get a little out of control and take matters into their own hands?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. Going back to the history of it, I'm sure you remember Big Frank Wyatt?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back and we're going to talk about a little bit of the history of stuff as well. But him and Homicidal Stephen Davis were teaming up, and they were either the tag champs at the time, or they were going against Jay Spade and Josh Totten for those tag titles. And I don't remember what it was. It was, I don't know if it was something that was said or something that was whatever. But Frank grabbed me and pushed me up against the ropes. That first instance of, oh, crap.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you talk about as well, you know, you talk about Axe and talk about stuff, Tony Flood, stuff like that. Axe, I've always thought of Axe, he's a lot of talk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's one of those, it's like, well, you know, you can talk all you want, but you, worker, I bossy.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and I'm sorry, I hate cutting you off.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I go off. And I mean, you know, one of the worst feelings in the world is we're talking about history and stuff. One of the worst feelings in the world was getting super kicked by Tony Flood.
Yeah, I that could loosen a few teeth, I'm sure, if he gets you in the right spot.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is, but, you know, I think a lot of these guys have come to understand as well that, you know, whether you like me or you don't like me, at the end of the day, I've always tried to be as fair as I can to people, even though they'll tell you that I've done some things to, quote-unquote, screw them out of getting to where they wanted to be. But in the end, going back to it, I always find a way to be fair, even if I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I made decisions at the time that, you know, I'm a little bit of a hothead myself. So it's been one of those. It's like, well, he's, you know, it's like, well, he screwed me out of the title here. Duh, 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 duh. And it's like 2 months later, well, didn't you get a rematch? Well, yeah. Like, well, didn't really screw you. He just did what he wanted to do at the time, but he got you back.
I've seen those situations where you've kind of been pushed to the max, and then you let those guys have it. You know, you run a tight ship, which is understandable. And not only, you know, are you that authority figure, good Lord, I can't say it right. You know, you also do, you have your hand in a lot of other things, including, you know, working with Jim Kelton, who plays the music for the wrestlers, but you do a lot with the sound with that, as kind of part of your real life gig outside of wrestling is working with audio and whatnot, but also the creative behind a lot of the posters and some amazing artwork and designs and logos and, you know, coming up with the names of shows and whatnot. And talk to me about that process, the creative process. Have you always, you know, you mentioned earlier photoshopping Tyler into that poster in the early days of AAPW. Obviously, that kind of work has been a passion of yours because it's a talent that you really, really shine at.
Yeah, and it's funny how it all started, actually. I used to do a lot of creative writing when I was in high school, and we used to take part in these things which were called effects, so to speak, where you would create a character, and then you would write about your character and the matches that you would do with other people and so on and so forth. And then one day I saw a graphic that somebody did that had, like, you know, pictures of, like, The Rock, Stone Cold, a couple others with a logo, and I was like, wow, how did you do that? Somebody told me it's like Photoshop.
Mm.
So the first thing I did is I was able to get a copy of Photoshop, and I am a self-taught Photoshop guru, and I started using Photoshop when I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have never had a professional class in logo design, graphic design, or anything else. And everything that I do, I've been self-taught when it comes to, like, logo design and how to make things. The process for naming the shows, it's actually quite simple. It's like, I take a lot of references from pop culture and just things that I'm interested in. I take a lot from video games and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. If you actually go back and look at some of the stuff that we've done in the past, I think it was in September of 2019. We were just coming off Bash at the Ballpark in August.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the next event we did was an event that was called Revenge.
Yeah.
If you will actually go back and look at some of that poster work that we did for that, some of it was based off the video game Metal Gear Solid.
Mm.
And it's just a process of taking something that I'm like, well, that looks cool. I'd like to incorporate it into something else that I do. And so basically what I just do is I'll have an idea that pops into my head, and, like, sometimes it'll even be like 3 a.m. and it'll just wake me up, and I can't get it out of my head. So then I run to the computer and I put some production hours into it, and I just go with it, because it's like, when you have a great idea, you don't want to sit on it and wait, because it's going to be one of those things that doesn't, you forget.
Yeah.
You'll forget it, so you just run and do it, and basically, it's like the same way with, like, naming the shows and stuff. Something will come into my head, and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna send this suggestion off, and most of the time it's like, hey, that sounds like a great name, let's use it.
What, is there one, I know you mentioned the Revenge poster, but number one, is there a poster design that really stands out, or, like, the logo creation for it? Because you do custom logos for all of the events as well. Or and I believe you are the one that came up with the Stride Pro Wrestling logo as well. Is there one that really kind of sticks with you as one that you take particular pride in? And then also, same thing with a show title. And then, did it live up to the expectation? Because do you have a picture in your mind of what, you know, what is Strideversary going to look like, which, you know, I think a lot of people would say that Strideversary is Stride's version of WrestleMania. You know, it's our kind of our hallmark show, our hallmark event, but anything like that that kind of sticks into your head as wow, this is the vision I have for it, and this is, you know, the name for it, and this is, and it's lived up to that kind of hype in your own head?
Actually, yeah. Strideversary within itself was one that I really loved. I mean, it's not the most original name, but it was a name that, you know, I was like, well, if I put this and this together, it's like, I think that'll work. And we've been using that moniker now for, what, this will be the third anniversary show under that moniker?
Yeah, I don't remember if we did the very first year that we had an anniversary show, if it was called that or not. But yeah, it's definitely one. And, you know, Tyler and I were talking about it last week on the podcast about how Strideversary, that third annual event that we had with the dog collar match with Jay and with Cash Borden, and then the match that he had, the Iron Man match with Tony Flood, and how that kind of set the bar, kind of set the standard for the expectation of Strideversary, because, you know, there were some years that we were not maybe in the best location, you know, things kind of got changed on the fly. I always kind of viewed Strideversary, that particular show, as kind of our WrestleMania 3. You know, when I was a kid, WrestleMania 3 was the one that trumped them all, and it was so big and grand and spectacular. So with Strideversary, you know, I love the name. You said it's not the most original or creative, but it's the simplicity of it, I think, says it all. And I think that really, at the core, is what Stride is. We're not some big, extravagant company. And Tyler has really prided himself on, you know, not having, you know, to rely on big-name talent. And that kind of takes me to the next part of this is, Stride, to me, what I love about it and being a part of it is that homegrown talent that is trained right there at the Stride School, mixed in with guys like Axe Allworth and Jay Spade, and, you know, when Tony Flood was still around and Roger Mathis coming in. You know, these guys blend in and lend that talent and that expertise, if you will, with this next generation of indie wrestlers.
Absolutely, and one of the thing about it is, Kevin, is whatever you're doing, you can't have a next generation of anything unless you have a current generation of something that is established and is willing to work with people that want to come in and be there tomorrow when those guys can't be there tomorrow. And we've seen a lot of good talent come and go through almost 5 years of Stride, and some of the talent that we have now with the younger guys is what I'm always looking forward to seeing more than anything, and seeing how they continue to develop and continue to grow. And a few of them that have always stuck out in my head, believe it or not, based on what you would see at Stride, I'm actually a huge fan of Dexter Roswell, Scott Phoenix, Savion Ayers, you know, those guys, you know, the more light heavyweight style, that's mm-hmm. always been more of my style of wrestling that I like to watch, and I'm just floored at how far, you know, all three of those guys have came since they first started, and it's like I said, you know, for talent to continue to grow and evolve, for tomorrow, it's got to be here today, and it's got to work with the talent of the day, and take the experiences of those guys and use them and put them in their best foot forward so they can continue to grow for tomorrow.
Yeah, that, very well said. You know, we talked about your eye for artwork and design work, and I know that you have worked with belt makers on some of the championship belts in Stride Pro Wrestling, including the brand new heavyweight championship. There's, of course, I believe you had a big hand in the No Limits championship belt as well. When you work with belt designs like that, with designers, I should say, Are you able to, because I don't know how the process works, so are you able to kind of give your input into what you want to see as far as that belt looks, or do you kind of trust their process, or is it a collaborative?
It's more of a collaborative than anything else. It's like, I will message them, and it's like, hey, I've got an idea for how I want this to look, and what I'll do is, like, I'll take a picture and, like, I'll Photoshop some changes onto it,
uh-huh.
And I'll be like, okay, this is kind of how I want this to look. Can you do this? And they'll be like, yeah, absolutely, we can do that. And it's like, okay, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this, this, and this. I want this to be this color and everything else. And so it's one of those, it's a collaborative effort, but it's one of those that when you do graphic design and you do any type of creative work, I'm sure you can follow with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those to where you initially have to come to somebody with the idea, and then after you come to them with the idea, a lot of people are more visual than anything else. So it's the thing to where if you can show somebody what you want and what you can do, they can take it and they can take the ball and run with it and make it the way that you would want it.
Yeah, and yeah, so that, you know, again, as a creative type, you're still, you know, you have that influence on it, but you're obviously not, you know, cutting that metal and putting it all together, but it's got to be a fun process to kind of conceptualize it and then put it into someone else's hands and entrust them then to carry out that vision.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always one thing. I am, when it comes to stuff like that, I am the most impatient person in the world. I will place an order with somebody, and then like 2 weeks later, I always give it 2 weeks before I say anything.
Yeah.
But after the 2 week mark, I'm like, hey, just checking in, want to get an update, how's it going, da, 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 da. And the belt makers are always, they're always very happy to provide an update. And, you know, sometimes it's not quite the update that you want because, you know, you want to see some progress. But give it another week or so, and they're like, okay, this is what I got so far. And when they come back with it, it's like, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, let's make this change, let's make that change. And the belt makers, especially, their number one goal is customer satisfaction, and they will bend over backwards to make you happy.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of customer satisfaction, and I kind of wanted to talk about, we talked about the fun side, the positive side. Taking COVID-19 out of the equation, what would you say over the last 5 years has been one of the challenges of being the general manager with Stride Pro Wrestling? Because you do try to make fans happy with the decisions that you make, with the matches that you create, the designs and the cards that you come up with and work with on. So, any big challenges that you can recall over the last 5 years that really kind of stood out to you that you thought this is going to be a bit of an obstacle, but obviously we all persevered on the other side?
Yeah. One of the biggest things about being a creative person as well is that you can spend days cultivating an idea, and you can have it to where you think it's, you know, absolutely great. It's like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever done, da 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 da. And then you send it off to somebody, and they're like, man, not to kill your spirit here, but that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
and then it's like, you know, when they tell you it sucks, it's one of those things to where it's like, okay, you've got two options here. You can either just fall up and bark at somebody. It's like, I spent so much time working on this, why don't you like it? Or you could be like, okay, why does it suck? What can we change? And where can we go forward? And, you know, as far as Stride goes, I really haven't had an instance to where there's just been something that it's had to be a catastrophic change or anything. It's like most of the time, I'm 100% of the time, actually, I'm given the creative freedom to, you know, come up with stuff the way that I want to, and then it's like, I'll send it off to people, and it's like, it's like most of the time, especially when it comes to the posters, it's like he'll tell me, okay, here's the card, do with it what you want. And it's one of those like, okay, here's what I got, what do you think? And, you know, the funny thing about it is I have never had to make any changes based off anything that he's ever wanted.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
One of those, if anything, I always try to send, you know, stuff to him, and I try to send stuff to you, and it's like, to be honest, the most I've ever had to really change as far as, like, the creative stuff goes is, hey, Sam, you spelled this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's really a blessing, you know, to know that I have that creative freedom to do it. And, you know, as far as dealing with the guys and stuff, I mean, at the end of the day, I really haven't had an endeavor with any of them that's just, you know, been one of those I'm ready to pull my hair off.
Yeah. So would you have ever imagined high school Sam and high school Tyler working at Dairy Queen? And I believe referee Lane Austin was in that mix as well. That group of friends. Did you ever think the three of you some nearly 20 years later would be hanging out, and not only hanging out, but in a professional wrestling capacity with the things that Stride Pro Wrestling has done over the last 5 years? You know, Tyler mentioned on last week's episode, over $100,000 has been raised for charities, and there's been 82 or 83 shows. I mean, those are huge benchmarks and huge accomplishments that, you know, you guys should really be happy with and proud of.
You know, Kevin, to be honest with you, it's like I was saying earlier, you know, after I got done working with that one promotion, I was frustrated. I was just, you know, ready to give up. But Tyler would have been the only guy that I would have went to work for at that point.
Yeah.
He called me, and I was like, okay, I'll do this. Just because it's you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's really, it's great to think about, you know, all the good that we've done as far as the charity work. But one of the things that I really think, I'm probably going to get a little sappy here. So please,
sure.
I do. But, you know, it's amazing to think, you know, all the friendships that have been reinforced through doing this, all the new friends that I've made, and to go on with that, it's just, it's great. I love getting to know people. I love people in general, man, and it's just been great, you know, not only getting to hang out with the boys and everything else, but it's been great getting to know the fans as well and everything else. And like I said, I'm probably going to be a little sappy here, but like back in 2016, I told my mom that I was going to do this, and she's like, well, you know, whatever makes you happy, you know. And, you know, my mother always thought that, this is probably going to blow your mind, but my mother always thought, you mean you're going to go hang out with that, you're going to be in the same show as that guy that's on the news, yeah, mom, you know, and, she just thought it was so cool because of that. And since we're talking about that, you know, it's like I said, I'm probably going to get a little sappy here. But God rest her soul. Back in December of 2017, she had passed away. And I think she passed away like 2 days before we were supposed to do that show in Woodlawn.
Mm, yeah.
I think it was Woodlawn anyway. Chase Fade and yeah. Roger were main eventing the show, and it's like I called Heath, and I was like, dude, my mom just died. I'm gonna be there. He's like, okay, man, you know, no big deal. You know how it
is. Right.
But the thing that, you know, really touched me and really meant a lot to me was, you know, of course Heath came to the visitation, but I had like two or three of the other guys that came as well, and it's like, you know, that really meant a lot to me, because it's like these friendships I had made in that moment, they really felt like they meant something to me.
Yeah. That is, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I mentioned you earlier being a part of the tribute show to Mississippi Madman, and I was talking with someone through Facebook after Mad Men had passed away, and, you know, he had mentioned to me, he's like, you know, hey, I like, I'm glad that you reached out, and I'm glad that you, you know, touched base with me, and you know, because this industry, you know, yeah, we meet and we see each other, you know, once a month on a Saturday, and you know, we spend some time together, but, you know, you and your role as general manager, you're jumping around, putting out fires here, there, and everywhere else. And, you know, Tyler's doing his thing with getting everything organized and ready for the show. And so there's not always a lot of time to hang out and spend time, but those opportunities that we do have mean a lot. And this guy in particular, and I don't know if he wants me to name him or not, that's why I'm not saying his name, but he had said, you know, that's why I will message you from time to time and just see how you're doing. And I think that that's, you know, the passing of Madman, and then you mentioned your mom's death as well. And, you know, we've seen, you know, friends and loved ones who we either lost or have struggled with their health and whatnot. And it just puts things in perspective. And a lot of times people think and hear, oh, you do wrestling. And they kind of, you know, I don't want to say they mock it, but it's not, you know, wrestling is what it is. And some folks just don't get it. So there's always kind of that, you almost go into a defense mechanism when you talk about wrestling as well, that you feel like you have to defend it. But that's really what it's about too, is the bond that is made with these men and women, you know, in the locker rooms and, you know, the friendships, and you see it on social media, you know, these guys are friends in real life and they mean the world to all of us. And I'm glad that you have been a part of this, Sam. And, you know, like you said, we kind of knew each other with AAPW, but obviously our friendship has grown and, you know, we talk more, probably not as often as we should, but we do talk, you know, outside of show nights as well. And I appreciate that too.
I do as well, man. It's like, when it comes to this, you know, I honestly feel like at times that, you know, and I don't mean, you know, nothing bad by this by any stretch of the imagination, because I mean, part of it's distance and everything else as well. But, you know, there are definitely times to where I feel kind of like I'm the silent partner in this.
Right.
You know, but it's always one of those, it's like, you know, irregardless of where I am, you know, I have the guys, you know, send me a message, check on me, and just talk to me or whatever. And it's like, you know, show day is like always my busiest day, because it's one of those, I don't know how much you can correlate to this, but it's one of those, it's like, okay, I'm not here all the time, but now that I'm here, okay, I've got 500 things to do. I got to make sure that the audio is set up.
Yeah.
Right. I got to make sure and go over all this and know this. I got 500 things to remember here. And it's like, I honestly feel like in that, you know, one 24-hour period, I deal with so much. By the time I get home at night, it's like, okay, I'm just going to sit in the big easy chair and go to sleep now.
Yeah. I hear you. I appreciate it too, Sam, very much so. Before we wrap up, though, there's something else I wanted to ask you about, because it's another one of your passions, and I know it's something that you really enjoy doing, and I, you know, I get it, but I also don't completely understand it, and that is Twitch and the work that you do with Twitch, because I know that we've streamed a few Stride shows through Twitch, and I've watched other people stream through Twitch, but you use it to do your other passion, and that's video games, which you talked about being an inspiration for a lot of the Stride posters and names of events. So talk to me about Twitch and how folks can find you there.
Basically, Twitch is, it's a big, in general, live streaming platform. Some people use it to broadcast, you know, wrestling events. Some people use it to broadcast the local volleyball game. A lot of people do video games, which is one of the things that I do. And it's just a big broadcasting platform. And with the fact that it's such a big platform, there is a potential for at any time, any one person can have over a 10,000 person audience watching a live video at any given time.
Wow. So how can people,
if anybody's ever interested in finding me on there, you can always just go to twitch.tv/PR the number zero, Tito S-A-N.
And I'll have that connection for folks if you want to check it out in the notes section of this week's podcast. What do you enjoy about doing with Twitch, though? Because obviously, you know, you're building, I guess it's also about that relationship building, because you are meeting folks and interacting and engaging with them, and I would imagine there's a bit of fun in that side of things as well.
Oh, there is, Kevin. There's a lot of fun. Exactly. It's the greatest thing about it is you have creative freedom to express yourself in a way that you want to a live streaming audience. And it's kind of like with, you know, local wrestling as well. It's live. It's in your face. Well, it's not in your face in the fact that you're seeing people get slammed around, but you're sitting about 15 inches away from a monitor watching somebody do their thing on the internet. And so you get a chance to correlate with people. You get a chance to build relationships with people. And to be honest with you, at the end of the day, the one thing I enjoy the most about the human experience overall and being in this world is the fact that we get a chance to meet people, interact with people, build friendships with people, and it's just an opportunity overall to make a difference in somebody's life.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, again, it is Strideversary. It is coming up. If you're listening this week as the show drops, it is coming up this Saturday night. It is Saturday, March the 13th at the Carterville Building, Stride Pro Wrestling Building in Carterville, Illinois. Go to strideprowrestling.com for all the details. Follow on social media. Sam, anything else you want to say as we wrap up this week?
Actually, yes, as a matter of fact. I have a question for you, sir.
Okay.
And after I pose this question to you, I will then answer it myself. But my question to you is, out of the past 5 years that we've been doing Stride Pro Wrestling, well, it's going to be a two-part question.
Okay.
Out of the past 5 years that we've been doing Stride Pro Wrestling, for you, what was the one match that sticks out of your head above all else? And what was the moment that you realized that this was going to be something?
That Stride was going to be something?
Yes, sir.
There are so many matches. You know, we mentioned the dog collar match, and we mentioned the match with Tyler and Tony Flood, the Iron Man match. Those two matches were phenomenal and stand out to me. I think, for me, one of the biggest Big Show feel matches was the night we did the Buried Alive match with Red Daniels and Chris Hargis. It really took off, but I feel like the moment that it made me think that this was going to be something big was the night we did the Redbird Rumble in West Frankfort that very first year. It was in November of 2016, and it was the night that Tyler won the championship from Axe. I think it was a street fight, and you had restarted the match, I believe, or there was something that had happened, but just the crowd was there, the reaction, and just kind of knowing we had that mix, because the trainees were starting to come into their own, you know, Scott Phoenix and Dexter Roswell, and of course Dan, Red Daniels, you know, those three guys were on that card, and I could feel they were starting to really get it, and I just felt like all of the stars were lining up in the right places. So many great moments, many great matches, many great men and women who have come through that locker room, but I think that Redbird Rumble kind of started to set that pace of, okay, this is going to be something big, and 5 years later, here we are still talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the show that really put it on the map, we're on the same page there, because I mean, I don't know what it was, but going into that Redbird Rumble that day, there was just something different in the air about the show that day that just made it feel like, everything that we had done previously at the mall and everything was great. And while I'm talking about the mall, I want to thank Mike for giving us a place to start.
Yeah.
Everything else. So I'm majorly appreciative for that. But just going into the Red Bird Rumble that day, that show just had a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and I haven't been able to put a finger on it, but it just had a different feel. And there's only been two other times to where, you know, I went into a show before it started that day, and I had that feeling like I had that day. And the two times that, you know, just immediately come right off the top of my head, or when I had that feeling, was the first time we were at the ballpark in Marion.
Oh, yeah.
And the other was when we were back at the Black Diamond Warehouse for Resurrection.
Yeah.
Doing that show for Dan. It was just those days, they just had that big day feel. And, you know, you're very fortunate if you get one of those big day feels in, like, a lifetime of yeah. what you do as a project. But I'm thankful and I feel lucky that, to me anyway, we've had three of those days. And, you know, if there's one match that really sticks out that, you know, made me feel like that we've really made something here, you're probably going to get a good chuckle out of this. But, you know, the one match that, like, sticks out in my head above all else, you know, that just, you know, had that big feel to it was when you and Heath fought Jay and Tony that night at the ballpark in Marion.
Yeah. That was, you know, I loved that moment. I love, you know, obviously anytime I can get in there and do it, I enjoy it. Even though I, you know, obviously I was never really, you know, trained to be a wrestler. So going in there, you know, I think there's a lower level of expectation on what I can do. But, you know, since you brought it up, that the setup for that when, you know, when Tyler was in that handicap match with those two, earlier in that month, and you know, I took my jacket off and tagged in, and just that roar from the crowd when I took my coat off, and they knew, holy crap, he's getting in there. And then after that is when you set up that tag team title match. That was the setup for it. I loved it, and then the execution. You know, it all. You know, there were things I would obviously tweak about my performance, but you know, that was so much fun, and the support, and then of course, when we won the belts, and then I stopped announcing for a while, and Sam had to, you know, add another hat as becoming ring announcer. So you really were doing it all, from, you know, helping with the show setups and whatnot, and helping Jim with audio, and then you're having to announce throughout the show as well, and, you know, maintain law and order. Hats off to you, good sir.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And while we're talking about that, I'm gonna tell you my biggest mark moment from all of that.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, going back to when we did the Resurrection show for Curly,
yeah,
in December of 2019, that for me was the giant full circle moment.
Mm, yeah.
And I say that, you know, because, you know, the first big show on an independent level that I ever went to see was when AAPW did Main Event that, what was it, January?
Yeah.
It was that January, and that was, you know, the first time I'd ever stepped in that warehouse. And for me, it just felt like it all came full circle, because, you know, I went in that night to Main Event as a fan, and then, you know, a few years down the road, I'm standing in the ring next to Bob Fester, introducing people for a match, and it was just, that was my big mark out moment, because it's like, oh my God, I'm standing next to Bob Foster.
Yeah, it's so amazing, it's so much fun, and I think that, you know, as things start to clear up around here, and Tyler mentioned it last week, there's a couple more Rent One ballpark shows coming up later this summer. I think we're going to get those big feel moments back sooner rather than later. And I'm glad that, you know, we're going to all be there together to enjoy it, Sam. And I really do appreciate all that you've done and continue to do for Stride, and for being a part of the show this week and opening up and sharing some very good insight to what you do.
Kevin, thank you very much. It's always great to be here. It's always great to talk to you, good sir.
Absolutely.
It's always good to share a good old story or two. As we get older, that's all we got is our old war story. right.
That is right, and we'll be making some new memories as well. I will see you Saturday night, Sam. Fans, I hope to see you out there as well, and we will talk again very soon.
See you, folks.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.